This call is now being recorded.
Okay, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us what's going on?
My name is Swift Justice, and I am incarcerated in the Alabama Department of Corrections currently and have been for quite a while. And what's going on right now in Alabama is just a labor prison strike. And, you know, we are hard at it, and we're holding together.
And tell us, what facility are you at and what's going on around you?
I am at GK Fountain Correctional Facility, and as I said before, we are conducting statewide and at this facility as well a labor strike, and that labor strike consists of no inmate reporting to their institutional jobs and doing what is considered to us as activists slave labor jobs. So these individuals have actually shut down altogether across the state of Alabama, including the facility that I'm at. And the way the ADOC labels it, all major institutions in the state of Alabama have stopped reporting to their jobs.
Do you know approximately how many prisoners are participating?
I haven't actually did the math on it, but there are at least 12 major institutions in the state of Alabama, and each one of those at a minimum will hold an average of 1,000 inmates. There's a couple of prisons, which is Bibb and Limestone, and they hold 2,000 plus inmates. So you're looking at anywhere between, you know, at the smallest number it would be 10,000. At the greatest number, I would say anywhere between 18,000.
And are most prisoners in each facility participating? Are some people refusing to participate?
Every last individual in the major institutions are participating.
What are your demands?
The demands vary. I mean, the demands as of, you know, as a whole, what we are asking for, we're not asking for demands that ADOC can control or, you know, anybody within the ADOC. Our problems are not consistent of policy changing inside the ADOC. All of our demands are legislative related. And, you know, for example, we have demands that have been listed as some of those demands. And one of those demands is to make the Habitual Offender Act, repeal the Habitual Offender Act and make retroactive the Presumptive Sentencing Act retroactive to all that have been current or in the past sentenced up under the Habitual Offender Act. And basically what that is the Habitual Offender Act presided before the Presumptive Sentencing Act took its place. And what they were doing was what they were calling a judicial reform and trying to alleviate the overcrowding from the Alabama Department of Correction has over the past, you know, decade or two. And so they brought in a more productive sentencing guideline, so to speak, where under the Habitual Offender Act, they were actually over-sentencing many, many, many individuals for crimes, not only crimes, you know, of let's say, an aspect of murder or drug trafficking or anything like that. They were just over-sentencing people with property crimes, et cetera. And as of how that fits, an individual may receive a sentence of a life sentence for a robbery case where the Presumptive Sentencing Act would have given only so many months, such as anywhere between 15 years or 20 years for that crime, which is a very, very big diversity in time sentencing. And, you know, that is something that they consider to be wrong and needed to be changed when they did that within 2016. You know, and if it was wrong at that point, it was wrong before. So you need to actually re-sentence the guys who have been sentenced and doing 10, 15, 20, 30, and 40, 50, 60 years all this time. So, you know, we're asking for relief on that and to be re-sentenced up under the Presumptive Sentencing Act. Another one of the issues that we are having overall, let me back up a little bit and explain overall what we're dealing with. Every piece of legislation that we are asking to be amended or repealed has to do with the conditions as they are inside the prison system. And, you know, I don't have to tell everybody that ADOC, Alabama Department of Corrections, has a DOJ lawsuit on them because of the conditions and Eighth Amendment violations. Everybody knows that. It's been going, ongoing for a while now. But the thing about it is you have to ask the question on what is the cause of these problems? Why is it this way? Why is it so overcrowded? Why is it so violent? Why are so many people overdosing? And why is there such a problem with drugs inside the prison system? And so what we're doing is we're taking time to pick out pieces of legislation that need to be revised or amended or repealed that have contributed to these problems, to these conditions, so that we can bring in true judicial reform as well as true prison reform, as activists are calling it. So, you know, when it comes down to legislative and when the guys have come up with their demands, you know, and it's a wide variety of demands, it's not just limited to the ones that people are seeing and talking about, which were released on some flyers on social media or anything like that. It's even deeper than that. And I'll speak on another one just to save some time, but one of those demands that people are asking for is to bring in inmate good time incentives credit. So people ask, well, what would that do to improve the conditions of the prisons? And the truth about that matter is, if Alabama was to bring in good time incentives for inmates across the board that were allowed, you know, that one day are eligible to return back to society, there's a whole lot of public incentives. There's a whole lot of public safety credits that will be added to that. And the reason I say that is because if you have a violent prison industry right now, which is the worst in the United States of America, as media has already said, it's not, if an individual is sitting here right now doing time and they have no hope in returning to their home, to their family members anytime soon, unless they EOS their sentence, which is ending their sentence and doing day for day or dying, there is no hope. So what they're going to do is they're going to do their time the best way they know how, and that is going to be through a criminal thinking manner. It's not going to be through a restorative manner. It's not going to be through a rehabilitative manner. They're going to do drugs. They're going to stay drunk. They're going to do whatever they can. They're going to rob, kill, whatever it is. That's what they know. That's what got them in prison. But good time will actually make these individuals realize at some point during their time that I am in control of my fate. I am going to be the cause of me doing the 20 years I'm sentenced to, or I am going to be the cause of me getting out early through inmate good time. And that's important. It's very important. And the incentives and the public interest on that relies in the fact that what you have done now is you will eventually bring down the violence, bring down the overdoses, and you will actually be saving the taxpayer multiple millions of dollars in medical bills, and you will also be opening up the door for staff members to want to work in the prisons and be safe while they're doing that. Not only that, you are actually bringing in a rehabilitation program that has proved to work in the past before they actually took it out of the systems.
Mm-hmm. As you said in the past, these camps are run by prisoners, slave labor. If the prisoners aren't carrying out the essential functions of the prison right now, who is?
Nobody.
Who's making the food? I've been seeing all these photos on Twitter of, you know, photos of nasty small portions, nasty looking food. What's going on?
Well, conventionally, when they have enough staff in our past strikes, this is what we witnessed, when they had more staff members, the actual staff, the correctional officers, the wardens, the lieutenants, the captains would actually be the ones who went in and cooked the food and they actually served the food. And in the past, what they did is they would actually serve regular meals that we are accustomed to getting through the Alabama Department of Corrections on a normal basis. But one of the things that you have right now with the Alabama Department of Corrections, and it's all over the media, is a staff shortage. As of June 1st, we learned that Alabama Department of Corrections reported through the Braggs versus Dunn lawsuit that they were at 60% vacancy rate. And, of course, we know that more ADOC staff members have quit since then. So you're looking at anywhere between a 65 to a 70% vacancy rate right now. So what you have is a huge staff shortage. They themselves cannot do what they have done in the past as far as the protests and the labor strikes that we've done before. So what they're doing and what we are hearing that they're doing is actually bringing in work release inmates and threatening these work release inmates. If you do not go and participate and make these meals or make these sandwiches that we're going to serve these guys, we will send you back behind the fence and you will no longer be in honor camp or work release status. So, you know, naturally these guys are not going to want to lose that privilege of being in a work release and be thrown behind a fence that is known to be the most violent in the world. So they're going to do what they are told to do under the threat of being returned back to society. So as of right now, we are hearing that, you know, in camps where there's no work release or honor camp that is locally close by where they can bring them in to make these sandwiches, they're actually busting the sandwiches and stuff inside to these facilities.
And what's going on? What's going on at the facility you're in? What's your meals look like?
Our meals are consisting of bologna sandwiches, two bologna sandwiches in the morning time and two bologna sandwiches in the evening time. And when you do the calorie intake on that right there, a bologna sandwich and cheese and on wheat bread only equals up to 240 calories. So basically what we're getting daily on that right there is just barely reaching 1,000 calories a day.
Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like you're also kind of on hunger strike.
Definitely. It's not a hunger strike that we're wanting to be on. We are, you know, and these guys are, and, you know, I salute these guys. They are taking this and they are going, you know, they're not liking it in one bit. Nobody likes to be hungry. I mean, of course, there's an old saying, the best way to get to a man's heart is to get to his stomach. So, you know, they're actually taking that to the extreme when it comes to how they are bringing their tactics to try to break these guys. They are actually on an involuntary hunger strike.
It sounds like, you know, this is a coordinated strike across the state, up to a dozen facilities. How is it organized? How did this come about?
Well, it comes about, man, through communication. And communication is something that we do throughout the prison system, and there's multiple ways that we do that. We usually relay things to outside organizers, and outside organizers relay it to other people inside the prison system, whether it's through, you know, the wall phone, whether it's through mail or whatever. It's not something hard that can be done. It's done very easily. So, the point and the thing that I would love to, you know, point out and hope that people take into consideration is the willpower that has been put behind this and how people are so fed up being dehumanized inside the prison system and being thrown away. Basically, the message that we are sending is the courts have shut down on us, the parole board has shut down on us, society has long ago shut down on us. So basically, if that's the case and you're not wanting us to return back to society, you can run and function these facilities yourself. So now that it has actually touched the heart and touched the it's inspired individuals to finally just stand up and say enough is enough, and they've done so at such a unbelievable manner. And, you know, when you look at this way, and I've seen it or heard it said this way, and it's a very, very pertinent quote, to be honest, this is a historical moment. Nowhere in Alabama has this ever occurred before. And matter of fact, as many strikes as I've been involved with, and that's including national strikes, it hasn't been done at this level right here, even nationally. So, you know, this is a historical moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only precedent that I can think of is the 2010 Georgia prison work stoppage, which is also statewide. Since then, I can't think of a state that's had the level of turnout across the state that we're seeing in Alabama right now.
Correct, man. And, you know, I'm just thankful that ADOC commissioner in their press release through the media, they did confirm that all major facilities were shut down and no inmate actually went to work. And that is the truth. And, you know, normally they would actually try to downplay it in our past experiences. They would downplay it and say that it's not happening and make it hard for us to actually be able to prove that it was going on.
Are the prison or the admin retaliating against strikers in any way?
There have been reports that they are doing it in different facilities. I have not seen and witnessed none here. One of the things that I have witnessed the officers talk about here is that we can't keep doing this. And many officers I have actually heard, y'all don't go to work. You got to realize, man, officers are basically living here as well 8 hours a day. So they're actually having to experience these same conditions. And these officers actually want to see change as well.
Okay. How long do you expect this to last?
I have no expectancy on this. What we are hoping for, and from the beginning, from my understanding when it was organized, and they did request that they abandon these jobs indefinitely. And that is rightfully so. I mean, once you start paying these guys minimum wage and end the exception of slavery as a punishment for a crime, then start giving these guys a reason to want to work and giving them benefits of working, such as paying them. I mean, just imagine, and this is something that we have talked about for years. This is a matter of fact, you know, that's a good question. The strikes really have always been about the slavery aspect. It's always been geared towards the 13th Amendment and the exception clause within the state constitution. We've seen states move in their ballots and vote to remove the exception clause out of their constitution. Colorado, for instance. And Colorado is now coming around to actually passing law to start paying their individuals that are incarcerated and going home minimum wage. That is a step in the right direction, and that is something that we really need to be focused on, and that's something that we are focused on in our demands as well here in Alabama. But, you know, it's kind of ironic, too, that in the ballot here in Alabama this come November, they will actually be voting on removing the exception clause from the Alabama Constitution, 1901 Constitution. So, you know, give these guys their money, man. I mean, that in itself, like we were talking about a while ago, that will be actually a public interest and a public safety issue. Because once you start doing that, you're actually giving these guys a way to pay their restitution, or a way to pay their fines, a way to pay their child support, a way to help take care of their family members that they left on the street. Not only that, they're able to actually start taking care of themselves in here and live a certain way. They're also able to start learning how to manage money and start saving money, so to speak, for when they do return back home. And imagine an individual who does anywhere between 5 or 10 years earning minimum wage on an institutional job. You can easily stack anywhere between $10,000 to $15,000. And can you imagine what kind of individual that would actually create to return back to society? You have actually given somebody a pillow, so to speak, a cushion. Once they return back to society, they have something to bounce back with. They have money to actually be able to buy a vehicle so that they can report to the parole officer and to go to work. They have money to actually rent a home so they don't have to be a burden upon already poverty family members. They also can actually avoid having to sign up for welfare and become a dependent on welfare and using taxpayer money to actually survive. But the biggest thing is they do not have to return back to their criminal ways and go back to the street just to survive.
All right, Swift Justice, thanks so much for talking with us. Is there anything to say before we let you go?
And I appreciate y'all inviting me to this, man, and giving me that opportunity to go ahead and speak.
Okay, stay strong in there.
Man, you too, and thank you very much.